And a good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we get together with registered nutritionist dietitian Amber Boyens of Immune Nutrition right here in Madison, Minnesota, to talk about your health and nutrition and all kinds of good stuff.
That's right.
We've been talking about holidays and food safety and
yeah.
a variety of things. But totally a different subject today.
Totally different.
It's the carnivore diet.
The carnivore
yeah,
diet.
It's a man's diet.
That's right. Yeah. So have you heard of the carnivore diet before?
No, I suppose it has something to do with meat.
It does.
Yeah, okay.
This is one of the more intuitive conversations we've had. So I just got back this weekend. I did some nutrition education with soldiers in the Minnesota National Guard. And with each group that I talked to, the carnivore diet came up. And this has come up in my office frequently, too. You'll see things. Many people have probably seen things on the news or seen things posted online about the carnivore diet. So I thought we could talk a little bit today about whether or not it is a good one.
Okay. I feel like we should have in the dinosaur sounds in the background or something today.
It is a more primitive diet, right? I mean, and when we think about the history, a lot of people think that this is something new. But really, if we look back, it dates back to like 1856. I can't remember the guy's name, but he ate for an entire year just beef and milk.
Okay.
And that was it.
All right. How'd that go for him?
Well, he actually felt better.
Okay.
And that's what a lot of people are following the carnivore diet for, too. So a lot of podcasters, social media people, famous doctors that have, like, TV shows and other podcasts, things like that, have really been promoting the carnivore diet recently. So a lot of people start it in an attempt to lose weight. That's one of the biggest ones. Reduce inflammation or improve joint pain. That's another big one. Correct blood sugars. So people who have diabetes or poorly controlled blood sugars have kind of been gravitating toward this too. And it really gained a lot of popularity because the keto diet, which we've talked about before, has been so popular now for the last 5 or 6 years. This is kind of an offshoot of keto. Now, the big difference is in most of our keto diet recommendations, we have a lot of vegetables. In the carnivore diet, we don't.
Yeah, so my kind of diet.
There's no vegetables. There's no fruit. There's no grains.
No quinoa.
There's no quinoa.
And no chickpeas.
No chickpeas. No other legumes. Exactly. So we're missing everything that comes from the ground, and we're eating anything that comes from an animal is largely what it is. So in the short term, like I said, people are seeing a lot of improvement. In fact, when we Harvard did a study on several people who are following the carnivore diet, and like 90% of people got off of their blood sugar medications. So it's not to say that it isn't beneficial in certain ways, because it absolutely can be. Research shows that in the short term, the carnivore diet might be beneficial. But if we think about what we're eliminating when we eat a carnivore diet, you're not eating Cheetos, you're not eating cereal, you're not eating a lot of heavily processed food that's coming with mashed potatoes or soy additives or corn additives or all of these other things that we tend to get a lot of in our typical kind of day-to-day diet. So not only are we cutting out fruits and vegetables, we're also cutting out a lot of highly processed food. So when we think about it from that perspective, you know,
I would imagine that you were not just talking, you're not just supposed to sit down and have a 10-ounce sirloin or something at every meal or anything like that, right?
But that's what people do. Oh, that's what the carnivore diet looks like.
Oh, is that right? That much?
Does that sound healthy?
Nothing in large quantities sounds healthy.
Right.
Moderation is the key, isn't it?
That's exactly it. Moderation is the key. And
that, not that it doesn't sound pretty tasty. But
sure. And that's why it tends to be an easy thing for people to follow, because you do get dairy products. You do get eggs. You do get beef and chicken and fish. So you get a lot of things that people do really enjoy, and they don't necessarily even put a limit on it, though most people who are following it eat 1 to 2 meals a day and don't have more than that. So a lot of people kind of incorporate sort of intermittent fasting or something like that alongside it. So it tends to be a little bit more complicated or more complex than just cutting out those plant foods. But what does the long-term research show us about it? Nothing, because there is none. The carnivore diet isn't a diet that we have good long-term studies on, although we had one of our first kind of long-term observational studies on a very low-carb diet in women, and it was women that they'd followed. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. Women who had been followed for about 18 years, and those who were following very low-carb diets actually had greater risk of developing diabetes. Now, is that because they were following low-carb diets because they already had a high risk, or is it because the diet promoted the development of diabetes? We don't know. We can't answer that because it was just observational. But we do have a lot of research on inadequate fiber in the long term, which can increase constipation. It can contribute to colon cancer risk. We have a lot of research on too great of intake of processed meats, so bacon and sausage and things like that that have more additives and are just more heavily processed, increase certain cancer risks, especially of the digestive tract. We have research on inadequate phytonutrients, or all of those colorful things that we get from food that demonstrate increased cognitive decline and lots of other issues. Saturated fat, that's one that is kind of a little more controversial, we'll say right now, because historically the recommendations to reduce risk of cardiovascular disease are to cut back on saturated fat. And now some of the more recent research challenges that recommendation a little bit. But what we do know in those studies is that people need more fiber. And fiber only comes from plants. In large part, phytonutrients, the colorful benefit, only come from plants. So we are losing a lot of stuff.
Well, cows eat plants, you know.
They do. Yeah. That's so not quite how this works.
Oh. Okay, I was trying to find a way around that.
That's right. And people do, but it doesn't count. Although, when we have grass-fed beef, it is richer in omega-3 fats than some of our grain-fed beef. So when we're talking about doing the carnivore diet, it's kind of a good lead-in to an important point that quality matters. If you're eating primarily processed meats, you're probably not going to see the same benefits as if you're eating more whole meats and just things that are a little bit more natural, ground beef, steak, chicken breast, things like that don't have all the additives. But it's an easy diet for some people to follow.
Yeah, I was just cruising the internet, as I do on YouTube, when you're speaking here, just looking at articles on the carnivore diet.
Yes.
It says here that comedian Joe Rogan gave it a shot recently when he heard about it, and it helped him drop 12 pounds, improve his chronic skin condition. He felt more energetic, and it gave him explosive diarrhea for the first 2 weeks.
So mostly good stuff there, yeah. Minus the last one.
Says the only problem that dietitians are skeptical about the diet's total lack of evidence-based results. So that's what you're talking about.
That's today. What I'm talking yeah. about. And I think anybody that tells you that the carnivore diet is going to be a cure-all for your condition, we can't say that. Are you going to see improvement in the first few months or even the first couple of years? Probably. You probably are. But in the long term, we don't know what that looks like. And while I do use therapeutic short-term diets sometimes, and I think that they can be beneficial, it's not my first line of action for most people.
You're not in favor of diets in general.
I'm really not.
In favor of healthy eating.
Yes.
All the time and none of this fancy stuff.
That's right. Nourishing yeah. foods.
And makes sense.
If we've already hit the foundational things, we're getting enough protein.
I pay attention to your program.
You are, and I appreciate that. Work on those foundational things first. So if you are trying to lose weight, if you are trying to get your blood sugar under control, if you're trying to lower your cholesterol, if you have joint pain, before you jump to something as extreme as the carnivore diet, I would encourage you to just look at the foundational stuff. Protein, good healthy fats, fiber, water, sleep, physical activity, mindfulness. If you've mastered all of those things, then let's look at some of these more therapeutic things. But jumping into that kind of strict restriction right out the gate isn't always the best idea.
All right. It's probably not the cheapest diet in the world either.
Well, meat's not cheap, no.
Meat's not as cheap. But, no. So a good balance of the meat and vegetables
that's
probably
right.
a good idea anyway.
You know what is
so.
Cheap? Chickpeas.
Chickpeas are cheap, yeah. Yeah. Get a dime a dozen.
That's right.
All right. Well, if anybody has any questions about this topic or any others, how can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Yes, you can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or on Facebook at imunutrition. Or you can call here to the radio station and get my contact info that way.
That's right. All right. Sounds good. And we'll taco again next Tuesday, Amber.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Amber Boyens with another Taco Tuesday right here on Q92. Thanks for tuning in.